Good afternoon, folks. Carolyn Evers here. My golly, I really do look forward to these little meetings that we have every Sunday. It's so exciting to be here to receive your phone calls, to kind of track where you are, what's in your heart, what's in your mind. For me to be able to hear your soul's promptings, as you might say, and to know that you are out there listening to this, whether it's in the archives or whether it's live. And so there is great joy for me also. Well, I really am not a political person as such, but I wanted to talk about something that I have noticed. And here in Maryland, we've had a lot of incidents where, and I guess you have this on every election, but there's a lot of anger and vehemence behind this of people taking down signs that somebody put on their property, you know, that had to do with their candidate. And, it's been in the news. Some threats have been made to people if they were backing a candidate different from someone else's beliefs. And so I became very aware of this. And so I talked to the cherubim about a topic for today, and that's where we came up with tolerance. If you're in, how do you know that you're intolerant? What's the difference to your soul? What happens there if you are intolerant? What happens to your belief system if you accept the opinion of others without discernment? And so these were the questions that the cherubim gave to me, and not only did the cherubim send these questions my way, but they gave some aspects of soul. In other words, they gave me the information that went with this. Quite interesting, because I think regardless of who you support in this election, there is always or should be this element of tolerance for the other person's opinion, even though it might be different from yours. So that is where we came from and how we came to this topic today. I would just like to mention to those who might be listening to this program for the first time, it is an open program in the sense that we welcome your phone calls, we welcome your questions, we welcome any way that we can be of assistance to you. But what I would like to mention is actually how we work. There is a piece of my mind, in a sense, that I literally send to the center of the cosmos. Golly, that's a long distance. I remember the first time I tried this, it took so long for this segment of my mind to get there. And when it came back, when I retrieved the answer, it took so long to get back, and I thought, oh, my golly, am I going to get lost? I kind of panicked a little bit. What would happen if this piece of my mind got lost? And so today I have to kind of chuckle at that, because with as much practice as I have done, it would appear that this spanning of this distance is like instantaneous. And so, as I said, a piece of my mind goes to the center of the cosmos, where I literally have the ability to see the cherubim there. And the cherubim are the ones that hold the Akashic records for all souls. And it is their job, as these records move up through the dimensions, because there are different places where records reside. that there are cherubim who are specially trained, who are able to take the records from the energy that comes up and puts it into their database. And it is like a database. It's they show me the records as a book, each soul's records as a book, because it is the sort of thing that humans can understand. We can relate to a book, a place where you go to for information, a place where you can do research, where you can look up facts. But in essence, as you might expect, in the center of cosmos, there really are not books there. These are vibrational frequencies that accumulate in a spot through a magnetic place where the record then accumulates around the magnetic, so that each soul's information would be, in a sense, appear to be connected in a book because it is gathered into this particular place. And I have to tell you, my friends, being able to do this has been so remarkable from so many points of view, because I could sit down, ask a question, research. Actually, what the cherubims do is they literally research that topic for me, whether it's in earth records or whether it's in soul records, and they bring it back to me, which I then read. I do see, I'll call it the book. I do see the book. I see the history of the soul. It is quite remarkable. You know, as a soul, your journey is so remarkable. It puts me in awe so many times when I see the journeys that you as a soul have taken. And you might be situated in a position where you're not happy for some reason, where there are challenges, where things just don't seem to be the way you want them to be, and yet what is behind this journey is so magnificent. And so if one thing that I could tell you, my friends, it would be, do not give up on yourself.
Carolyn?
Yes.
I have a question for you.
Just let me finish this one sentence, because I just want to say to people how magnificent they are from the places that they have come from and from the acts that they are about to do. You are so incredibly magnificent. And who am I speaking to, dear?
This is Nancy Grasso.
Hi, Nancy.
Hi. Awfully nice talking with you.
It's nice talking to you, Nancy. What can we do for you?
Well, I have a twofold question that kind of concerns me. Kind of getting into Steve Fawcett's dimension. My question is, would the already deceased join us in their old bodies when we go?
I'm having a little trouble hearing you, dear. I heard the first part. Would the deceased, what came after that?
Would they join us in their old bodies when we all join Steve Fawcett in his fourth dimension?
Okay. Would the deceased join us in their old bodies? Is that correct?
Yes.
Would the deceased join us in their old bodies, and what was the rest of it?
In this fourth dimension where we're supposed to be headed.
Oh, okay. So let me see if I understand this correctly. We have an individual who has passed over. Their body
Correct.
Has remained here on this dimension, and their soul has gone to the next dimension. And so you are wondering if those souls who are in spirit, when the entire, shall we say, progression of souls goes to the next higher dimension, what happens if do they join with their old body or their previous body that they left behind? Am I understanding you right?
Yes, pretty much, yes.
Well, you said pretty much. Is there any place?
Well, is it a fact that we will all be, I haven't had a chance to read Steve Fawcett's information yet, as it hasn't been sent to me.
Okay.
But not knowing that much, my question is, when we all do go into this new dimension that you've been talking about, what happens with the old souls that have already passed on? Will they join us?
Well, one of the things that he did say, Nancy, is that as he is there, there are some souls there who are already in their body. In other words, they move to that dimension with their body. He also said there are some souls who are there and there is no body with them.
Right, okay. So, well, of course, I'm thinking about my daughter and probably your son, specifically, who passed on.
Okay, well, let's, since you're thinking about that specifically, why don't we phrase our question around that instead of making a general statement? How would that be?
Great, that would be
Because
wonderful.
That's kind of where you were going, weren't you?
Yes.
Okay, so let's refine the question a little bit. When all of the souls move up to the next higher dimension, how will those souls who are not embodied, how will they evolve and will they somehow take on a physical body? Does that kind of structure what you mean?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Well, I know what my son has told me, but let's go to the cherubim and see what they say about this, Nancy, because I think this is an excellent question, especially if you have someone in spirit, you are wondering what happens to them.
Absolutely.
So, and actually, I haven't asked this question in this particular way, so, you know, this is going to be some news for me, too.
Okay, well, here we go.
Okay. Let me take a drink of water here. Nancy, what I'm seeing now is a cherubim, and she is saying that rather than direct me to the records of the soul, what she is doing is taking me to the place where the earth records are kept. And it is because your question really involves what's happening here on planet Earth and that area surrounding the planet. Mm-hmm. And when I go there, it is almost like a cave that is inside the Earth. And so what I find myself doing now is going inside of the Earth. I really don't have a sense of what is around me, except it is like a tunnel. I know that as I go within that there is something that surrounds me, but it doesn't seem important for me to find out what it is, because where my mind is going now is in this, again, this database that pertains to the Earth. And so she is there is a vast array of information here that really has to do with your question, because the reason that is so is all of the souls who are on this planet did not come from one source, meaning not that they weren't created by the master creator, God, source, whatever name you use to identify that, but that there were some souls here on this planet that had incarnated into bodies that were cloned. Now, you probably have read something about that, haven't you?
A little bit. I'm not real familiar with it, though.
Well, Christian has some work about it where there were some extraterrestrials who had cloned physical bodies, and there are some others who are bringing forth this information, too.
Sure.
But this was not true of all souls. All souls were not on this earth, were not of the clone variety, that there were some souls who came down to the etheric level in a spiritual form. In other words, it was a spiritual expression of the soul, and as they became, they came closer to Earth, they literally connected with an aspect of their higher, the higher portions of their soul. In other words, that portion that was connected to their soul monad, and they cooperated with the divine blueprint, that plan that God had brought forth for this planet, and the soul incarnated into a vehicle that used the divine blueprint as the physical the physical body. And there are some other expressions also. There were other souls who were part of that group that was called the Things in Atlantis, where there was experimentation of souls being combined or test tube embryos were used between humans and animal DNA that was then infused with a soul. So what they are showing me is on this planet there were so many experiments that had to do with the physical form. So that, number one, the physical form for all of these different experiments were not the same. Even though the form had used the elements of the Earth, the particles on this plane, that they did not come forth from the same seed, so to speak. In other words, they had used different patterns. And so that has an element of what would be carried to the next higher dimension. And what they are showing me is that those physical vehicles that did not come forth from the using the matrix of the divine blueprint will not be carried into the higher plane. That what is going to be going to the higher plane is that matrix that followed exactly the divine plan. So the not the soul. Now they're impressing that this is not the soul. The soul will move forth as all souls will be moving forth, but it will be separating the physical components that were not strictly being adhered to as far as the divine blueprint. Now, I find that interesting, Nancy, because it wasn't something that I pursued to discover this myself, so thank you for the question.
Well, you're
We're
welcome.
Not finished here. I mean, it's a fascinating aspect. So if you think about this, what they are showing me is this journey that we are on is about purification, perfection. And so as the soul goes up through the different dimensions, as the vibratory rate of the soul becomes higher, this is the perfection. So it is the perfection of the soul. And then on the other hand, there is also this separation of the biological aspect of the physical that will be separated if it is not of the highest perfection, if it is not carrying the blueprint. So they're showing me, in essence, what has been the work of those who have had influence on this planet that did not adhere to the divine blueprint will not be going to the higher dimensions, and they're very clear about that.
Right.
Now, those. So your next soul, your next question is, what happens to those souls who have moved up into the next dimension, but they are not taking their physical body with them.
Right.
And they are now taking, I mean, there's so many records here, it's just unbelievable. They're now taking me to, well, first of all, they wanted you to understand the differences in the physical patterns, they're saying, the physical evolutionary patterns that is found here upon the planet. There's more, they're saying, but that's not the purpose of what we're discussing. Now they're moving over to that area of what is planned. And what they're saying here is that there will not be an immediate change right as you go over. I should back up a little. In between each dimension, there is what they call a checkpoint. And this checkpoint is, for without getting into a big explanation, this checkpoint is certain circumstances that have to be reached to allow the soul to move up to the next higher dimension. And the point of these checkpoints is to siphon out the dark or to keep those portions out that would not that would wish to control. In any way that would wish to control souls, or to control them, to dominate them, to bring fear to those souls at the next higher dimension, because it is very difficult for spirit to eliminate that on a dimension. So each time you go up to a higher dimension, you have to pass this checkpoint, and what keeps the soul from moving there would be this vibratory response. Nobody actually holds you back, but in other words, you have to meet that vibratory level so that those who are in fear and control and so forth, they're not going to be able to move up to the next dimension. Mm-hmm. So on this next checkpoint, those souls who are on the other side right now who are not in physical form, their soul will advance as all the other souls will advance. Because they do not have the physical, will not keep them from moving to the next dimension. Now, after what they're showing me is that after you get through the next dimension, there are what they are showing me as soul families. This is very hard, perhaps, for us to understand, but perhaps we can visualize this that. As if you go up to the very highest dimension, souls came down, and as they did, there was a splitting, you might say, a division, because as they were coming down into the denser dimension, the particles in the denser dimension are not constructed the same as those on the higher dimension. So the souls in essence divided, and as they came down they divided even more. Now as they go back they are going to join forces again, so that in a soul family there will be some souls who will be moving up who will not have the physical, and there will be some souls who are moving up who will have the physical. And in that soul family, those who move up and who have that perfected form following the divine blueprint, that blueprint that Prime Creator gave to be used for this planet, they will meet up with other aspects of their soul family who will have that form. And they're showing me it's almost like a duplication of energy. It will then be that those souls will be rebirthed into a physical form, but not the same denseness that is here on this planet, but the nature of the physical body from that level. Are you with me so far?
Mm-hmm, I am.
Okay.
Thank you.
So what they are saying is, the immediate jump over, a soul who who has departed would be on the other side. They would not have that physical component, but as they moved up even more, they would connect with, it's almost like relatives of the same soul family that would be bringing them the perfection found on that level, that they would then take form on that level. Mm-hmm. Actually, Nancy, thank you for asking the question. I think that was very fascinating.
It was. It was
not
amazing.
Something that I've...
Well, it's been haunting me.
Well, you see, that's what's so wonderful about your questions, because your questions bring a fresh aspect, you know, something that I hadn't thought of. And now you said you had a second question. Was this part of the question? Was this pertaining to your daughter?
In a sense, just wondering if we can we choose whether to enter this dimension or not. But now that I feel more comfortable knowing that we'll all be together, I'm wanting to go there.
Well, what they are telling me is that you will be with your daughter.
Well, that's basically...
Would you like a little bit of history about you and your daughter?
Oh, yes. Yes. I don't mind.
More than you expected, huh?
I'm psyched.
I'm taking time because I have to go to a different place with this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm now leaving those records where the Earth records were kept, and I am journeying back up to the cherubim in the center of cosmos, because that's where the soul records were kept. And they're showing me the records. They're showing me your records. They're showing me your daughter's records. And Nancy, as they open up the records, there is a great deal of light.
Hmm.
You must have been very close to your daughter, weren't you?
Yes, on certain levels, definitely. I feel like she passed on so that she could give me light, supposedly. Because
so she could give
I never would have delved. I've always been interested in this, but never really jumped into the amount I have since she's passed. So.
Because what they are showing me is that your souls were very, as you go back into the history of your souls and the journey, maybe another way of saying this is the journey of your souls and going back to that very early connection, that the two of you were very closely related.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I asked you if you were feeling that.
I have felt very, very close to her, extremely close.
Uh-huh. Because what they are showing me is that your soul history has been very much entwined with one another, but not only entwined with one another, is that there was a very deep connection from the very beginning when your two souls were formed.
Wow.
That you came from the same grouping. Now, let me explain this a little bit, because how this all started is Prime Creator, Source, all there is, whatever God, whatever name that you use, came forth with a plan. It was very involved, took a very long time to develop, and so there was this plan of intent. And they call it sometimes the tree of life. And then after the plan was developed, the souls were called forth who would participate in this plan. And of course, there were different groups because there were different aspects of the plan. And at the creation, there was the light, the sound, it was so beautiful, Nancy. It was like the music of the spheres. There was this incredibly musical sound that came forth from the aspect of Prime Creator. So Prime Creator breathed this aspect of sound that it came forth from the Creator. It was very hauntingly beautiful. And so you had the sound, you had the color, you had the light, of course, but the light was broken down into the colors that implanted into the soul a particular aspect of missing. And that is where you and your daughter were very closely related to one another, because you two came forth on this same mission, this same call, this same range of colors. So, in essence, you were going forth with the same aspects of soul, the same mission, and it is why the two of you have evolved around one another as you journeyed through this incredible path that the two of you have taken. So it is why there is this close connection. Now, they are telling me that, do not get confused, you were definitely two different souls. It wasn't like you came from one soul. You were two different souls, but you were created in this same group who was following the same mission, that had the same intent. You walked forth on the same wave of emotion. You walked forth with the same beauty implanted into your soul, the same drive. You answered the call in the same fashion. So that's why you felt so close to her. Uh-huh. Now, getting back to your original question, as you evolve through the dimensions yourself, you will meet with your daughter on the level where you will be able to share that physical aspect, because you indeed will ascend in physical form.
Okay, so we'll meet again. It wasn't clear. I'm actually taking notes. We'll meet on some level whereby she can take on physical form. Is that what you're saying?
You know, I'm having trouble hearing you, Nancy.
And I know. I am too. I'll just listen, because
just
I have
say
to
that
listen
last
very...
question again.
Excuse me?
Say that last question again.
Just repeat the last sentence you were saying.
Oh, well, see, I don't know, because once I...
Oh, okay.
When I say something, I'm in an altered state.
Okay,
No, well, it's nothing to be sorry about. I'm just explaining to you. I'm in an altered state, and I am reading something, I'm seeing something, or I'm hearing something that I am repeating to you. And then when I come back to you to ask you the question... I'm in beta. I'm in conversation tone mode, and there's a disconnect between those two. So I can't go back and repeat something. But I'll tell you what you could do when this show is put up in the archives. You can listen to that again and hear it.
Okay.
So there you go. You'll have the whole thing.
Thank you.
You're welcome, dear.
It was wonderful.
It was my pleasure.
And mine.
So before Nancy came in and asked her question, we were talking about the election. We were talking about this message that came from the cherubim. And one of the questions was, how do you know if you're tolerant? You know, we all say we're tolerant. But I realized that when I was seeing all of these signs being torn down and written upon and threats made, that we were not tolerant. And maybe some of us didn't even realize it. But here is what the cherubim say about tolerance, and I love it. I just thought it was so beautiful. To open the heart in equality is to open the forces of love. And what they're saying about this is these forces are not the forces of giving. You know, we think about love as something given. But when you open the heart to equality, you're opening a type of the same force, but you are receiving that love instead of giving. And I love that, because what that means is if you're tolerant, you're receiving that love force that you are opening up because you are willing to accept other people in equality. And so they say that when you treat everyone equal as having the right to express their opinion or their culture, in essence who they are, then you are the receiver of this love force. And they're reminding us that we do not shower this right upon other people. The Creator has already showered this right upon them. Rather, this energy that you originate, in other words, we're talking about tolerance, treating people with this force of equality, opening up the love force, this stays in your soul. And the energy comes to you directly. And ultimately, it feeds and nourishes your soul with a sense of happiness. And I love that. I hope you do too. I thought that was extremely telling. Now, so you know if you're you know that you're tolerant is because you're going to open up your heart. You're going to feel the love force. You're going to feel it coming back to you in some way. And then the other question was, suppose you're not tolerant. Suppose that in some way you have been intolerant. What's the difference to your soul then? And so the cherubim go forth with this and they say, just as the energy goes to your own soul essence if you're tolerant, then if one is intolerant, it robs the soul of some of the energy that focuses on love. And so if a person continues to be intolerant, then there is a pattern that is set up that makes it difficult to forgive. Now, I find that very fascinating, that they have connected this concept of forgiveness with the concept that it's going to be difficult to forgive if you're intolerant. And so if you remain in that state and you don't change this, then the soul moves in a downward motion, and they're talking about vibrations here. And so as the soul moves down in vibration because of the intolerance, if there's no change in that perception, then that higher portion of the soul that's located behind the gateway to the soul monad, now we've talked about this, that is the higher mind. So what happens is then that aspect that's connected to the soul monad must send events into the life that will shake up the individual. In other words, okay, you're going in a downward motion because you've been intolerant, because you cannot forgive. So then that the higher mind sends down messages, shakes them up till they get that concept, and if they don't, then there are going to be deeds, events that's going to come into their lives that's going to shake them up. It's going to be a reversal perhaps of financial standing or general challenges in the lives, depending upon how intolerant the person has become. So what they're saying here, this is extremely important, to be tolerant, because to be tolerant is involved in forgiveness. It's involved in recognizing that other souls have their God-given abilities and talents, and that you must respect them. And so this sort of opened up a whole new doorway, I thought was very fascinating. Folks, if we have maybe 15 minutes, golly, time goes by fast when you're having fun, give us a call here at BBS, 877-876-5227. And like Nancy, I'm sure you have some kind of question. You might even come up with a question that I haven't even asked the cherubim to read the records about. That's always fascinating. Give us a little jingle. And so the third aspect of this, well, what happens to your belief system if you accept the opinions of others without discernment? Well, when I got that third question, I thought, hey, that's kind of interesting. I didn't realize or didn't even think that discernment had anything to do with tolerance or intolerance. We have another question called in, and your name.
Hey, Carolyn, it's Rebecca. How are you?
Well, Rebecca, you wanted to get in before we got off the show today, huh?
Yes, I did. I do have a comment about the intolerance. I live in California. In the last election, someone had a customized license plate that was supporting Gore,
uh-huh.
and they've got their windows smashed out. So it was kind of a sad thing to hear that, where people are not able to have their own opinion and have those around them just be able to accept that.
Yes.
Yeah, and I was a little, taken back about the signs as well. So I have a question, though. I have become involved in a church, and I am wondering what that is all about, what the attraction is, if there's things from the past that I am finishing up, or what is going on. Could you check my records and find out?
Well, let's talk about that a little bit, Rebecca.
Okay.
Now, you've joined a church, and you think perhaps this might have a connection to a past lifetime. What is the sense of this church? Are you comfortable there? Are you uncomfortable?
Well, I'm comfortable there. It is different than from what my belief systems have been in the past.
Ah, so you have, see, because I'm trying to find out the emotional aspect that you carry when you go to the church. So you go into the church, would you say you feel at home there?
Oh, very much so. I feel at home with a lot of the people. But I do know that, you know, there's the dark and the light side, and the dark can appear to be the light side. And I'm kind of wondering what that might be tied into or not. Does that make
okay, and no, I understand. I think I understand what you're saying, Rebecca. I think the question arises is because you're finding that what they are teaching in this church is so different from the path you have followed in the past. Is that kind of it in a nutshell?
Correct. There's a whole aspect that is very progressive that I just love, and then there's this other part that, you know, deals with Jesus and the only way to God is through him, and, you know, my views have changed on that over the years, and so I feel like in some respects I'm going backwards if
Okay, so there's really two aspects of this teaching. One aspect in the church is that you're very comfortable, and then there's another aspect that you have this sense is repeating some of the information that you personally have moved away from.
Correct. And,
okay. I had to have the sense of where you were coming from because I can't go in and open a record unless I really understand
okay.
what your question
okay.
is.
Okay.
And even though you gave me the question and I understood it, I knew there was a whole lot behind that question.
Okay.
Okay, so let me see which way they're going to take us. Oh. I thought they were going to take us by way of your soul to the center of the to the center where your personal records are, but they're not doing that. They're taking me back down to that chamber where the earth records are.
Oh, interesting.
What?
Interesting.
Very. I was kind of fascinated by that myself.
Uh-huh.
So let's see what they're going to say. Takes me a little time to get there because they're taking me to a part of the records that are very specialized, and this has to do with the development of what you would call religious dogma.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me that what you're feeling uncomfortable with seems to be a part of dogma. Is that more correct?
Correct, yes. Uh-huh. Correct.
Okay. Because that's what I'm seeing here.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Yeah. Okay, now, what they're showing me is, this is true all the time, Rebecca, there are layers of truth. And there is what appears to be a surface truth, and then you can go down several different layers. In other words, if you follow those different layers of truth, sometimes when you get to the bottom, it really is different from the top layer because it's refined and there's different aspects. And what they are showing me is that at the very deepest level of what you are calling dogma,
mm-hmm.
were kernels of truth that was at the very heart or basis of the teaching. And as you went up through the levels, it was covered over with levels of subterfuge. And the reason behind that is that those who were using that dogma was changing the kernels of some basic truth to be able to control the population.
Correct.
Are you with me there?
Yes, yes.
And so what you are... We're not going to address that part of the church that you are content with. In other words, that part that you feel comfortable with.
Correct.
What we're addressing is that aspect that you were uncomfortable with because it is reminding you of something from the past. And there is one aspect here, Rebecca, that in the very early portion, right after... the crucifixion, that there was, now this was actually before Christianity was considered the church of the Roman state.
Correct.
There were individuals who understood the truth. They were Gnostics. They used those powers of going within, and they understood the truth, and so these kernels of this deepest truth that underlies what you are hearing, that there was the truth, and you were one of those who understood this, and as the new forces came in and started to try to take control of the people's minds and hearts, you would not budge. You knew the truth. You went in through your own higher mind. You went in. You knew what the truth was. And you were persecuted for that and eventually lost your life because of it. This was a past life. And so there's a couple things going on here. One is to clear the residue from that past experience because it has tainted some of your acceptance of the truth that is below, or these kernels of truth that is beneath the dogma.
Okay.
In other words, that was a very fearful time for you.
Okay.
And so this has not formed a pattern, and you are able to clear this in meditation. In other words, what they're saying here is this is the only time that happened for you. You haven't formed a pattern, and you should be able to clear that by yourself. So that part is for you to clear.
Okay.
The other part is that they do cling to some of the dogma that you know isn't true.
That is true or
that is not true.
Correct.
That some of the dogma that they are clinging to, and see, you are recognizing this, because you went through this lifetime. In other words, you're still holding on to the information from that lifetime. You are still understanding what is true and what isn't. But it is the trauma of that particular lifetime that I'm trying to find a word to use to describe this.
It
worries you. What were you saying?
I totally understand what you're saying.
Yeah, it's like it worries you. It's like nudging at you because you know it's not right. And there's a part of you that is struggling with this because of this past lifetime. So what they're recommending is you go into meditation, you clear this trauma from that particular past lifetime, and once you do that, it will become very clear to you as to how to differentiate from what are those truthful kernels beneath and what are those what is that dogma on the top that you are not willing to accept and actually you shouldn't accept because you know it's not right.
Yeah.
And so what they're saying is if you clear this past lifetime, the discernment between these two aspects will become very clear to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is what the struggle is with you right here, is you recognize these two aspects. And once you clear that lifetime, they believe that you will just be able to enjoy those aspects of that church that you really enjoy.
Okay.
And you'll be able to ignore, not accept, maybe not ignore, but not accept those aspects of their teaching that you know is not correct. It won't be a challenge for you anymore because you will be much stronger internally as to what truth is.
Okay. Okay. I have noticed that there are some people that when I talk about more of the truth, their mind is opening up a little bit to that. And so I almost had wondered, too, if part of my journey was to actually be there to speak more of the truth to some of these people that are waking up and not too sure what's going on.
And the answer is always.
Okay.
Always. But they are suggesting that you clear that past lifetime because you've got some emotional baggage around that issue.
Okay.
That you'll be able to speak to them with much more clarity.
Okay. Okay. And there's one person, if we have another minute or so.
We really don't, darling, because
I've
got like two to get off the air. What I would suggest is that you call back next week and we can get into it again.
Great. That's awesome.
Good, dear.
Okay, thank you so much. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Well, my friends, I have to tell you, an hour really passes by fast, does it not? Go to Metatron Minutes, sign up for Archangel Metatron's newsletter. It's free. Get an understanding of what he is here about, how he is asking for your help to clear the dark pockets on the earth to bring love and understanding to the planet. It is beautiful planetary work. You can submit a question for Archangel Metatron to answer, and you will find those in the newsletters. Also, for a personal reading, you can go to carolynevers.com or akashicreading.com and find out more information about that. And as ever, we'll be here next Saturday with Charlene, as we are on the air every other Saturday with her, for those who need healing. And I send my blessings to you. What more can I say? In these times, which has a lot of challenges that are being presented to us, we need each other's comfort. We need each other's support. And I am here supporting you in any way that I can. You can support us by sending us your love. And together, we will make anything possible that we dream of and think of as the world in which we wish to live in. Goodbye for now, my friends. Talk to you soon.